All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Rinkwide Vancouver. Canucks wrap up their road trip with a 4-2 win in Chicago, game overshadowed by news just prior to puck drop that Phil Kessel may just be in the fold. We'll get to that later on, but first things first, we have a hockey game to discuss. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode by Farhan Lalji of TSN. Rinkwide Vancouver coming to you from our studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. The Wall Center meeting space sets the tone for productive business events in downtown Vancouver. For more information, email sales@wallcenter.com. Farhan gets all the big assignments, Super Bowl on Sunday, and somehow you get a Canucks-Blackhawks battle to break down 48 hours later.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is the highlight, right? I mean, you know, this is the game Sunday, big deal. You know, and I'm going to do next Tuesday's game against Colorado. We were kind of joking that that's the big game that I get over these next two times on Rinkwide here, but this was exactly what we thought it would be, right? We thought it was going to be a clinical victory by the Canucks. Honestly, it was weird that at the end of this game, there were, you know, Stanford has a chance and we're thinking, holy cow, this game could like be a one goal game in a second. They pulled their goalie and really it felt like the Canucks dominated from start to finish. Yet there we were staring at what was kind of a potential game in the balance, even though on form it really wasn't.
I'm not sure, so sure that I share that this thing was getting a little dicey for the Canucks. I think where for me it was when they made it 2-1. And then Blackwell hits the crossbar off the rush, and that was the turning point and really the ball game. The Blackhawks hit a crossbar at one end, and Nils Höglander, who's on a nice little run here, three games in a row, seals the deal after some terrific work by Elias Lindholm. And, you know, it's not spectacular stuff from Lindholm, but it's one of those, you know, we always talk about the little things. Beats his man to the puck, shields the puck, and allows Höglander to swoop in and tuck it home. And instead of it being a 2-2 game where the Blackhawks had been badly outplayed and badly outshot, the Canucks extend their lead to 3-1, and I think that was enough of a comfort zone. They added it in the third period. And look, they go 3-1-1 on the road trip where there was some angst in the market about the fact that this team wasn't playing all that well. The power play's still a little bit of an issue right now. It's in a rut, but this is what makes this team special this year, Farhan, is that JT Miller and Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser can all be quiet, essentially, on a road trip like this one. And Nils Höglander rises to the occasion. And, of course, for the better part of 2 months now, Connor Garland, Dakota Joshua, and to a lesser degree, Teddy Bluger have been there to pick up the slack. And that was the case again tonight. A Gordie Howe hat-trick for Joshua and Connor Garland with the first two goals of the hockey game to put the Canucks out in front 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about that third line? What are we calling it now? I've now heard it. Do we like the lifeline? Or are we going to go with the good job boys like Daniel Wagner tried to get us on?
No, we're not doing that.
But is the lifeline what we've settled on with this group?
Well, I mean, I'm not one that needs nicknames for lines, but it's hard to argue with the amount of life that that group breathes into this hockey club. So, hey, yeah. If the name fits, then maybe we run with the lifeline.
And, you know, as we talk about what's got to happen with this team, you know, in the offseason, right, and the suggestion of, hey, they got eight guys that are going to be unrestricted free agents at the end of all of this. Like, the Canucks better get Teddy Bluger and Dakota Joshua signed ASAP. Like, those two guys have been so good for this team. And when you look at what Joshua delivered in this game, right? I mean, he had a three-point night, finishes with the Gordie Howe hat trick. You saw in that final shift late, 3.5 minutes to go when Garland gets taken out. And it didn't seem like that bad of a hit. It's just going to look worse because Garland doesn't weigh much and he flies into the boards with a bigger guy hitting him. And Joshua, cheap shot or not, just went right after him and certainly looked like he won that fight. And I'm not a fighting guy, but when you certainly his teammates are going to appreciate that he's there to defend his guys and do all of that. So when you look at what this guy has turned into, and we didn't know much about him when they brought him in here last year, and he had some moments, and then even this year he winds up getting healthy scratched early on. And, you know, you got the sense early, even last year, when he was talking about what this player was capable of, he really believed that there was something there. And now he has just lived up to that in so many ways. And when you look at his size and his speed and just his overall skill set, if you can't make something out of this guy, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
And Rick Tocchet has made something out of him and pushed the right buttons and got him on the right line. And they just can't break that lineup because we talked about Kessel and what the Canucks need in terms of top six forwards, and they added Lindholm, and are they still one more top six forward away? And Garland theoretically would be a guy you should elevate, but you just can't mess with that line.
Yeah, and you saw Dakota Joshua use his hands in a number of different ways, as you said, the scrap late in the hockey game. Nice patience off the rush in the back end to make it a 4-1 game, his 13th goal of the season. So with 28 to go, 20's not out of the question. And then just a beautiful give and go with Connor Garland to open the scoring when the Canucks were skating circles around the Blackhawks off the hop, and you thought they better cash in at some point here because the shots ultimately were 12-1 in the opening 20 minutes, and the Blackhawks got their one shot late, the Canucks with one goal. So the Canucks easily the better team in the first period, but they didn't have a lot to show for it. But in transition, Filip Hronek breaks up a pass in the neutral zone, and then the give and go, Garland to Joshua, and back to Garland. Pretty goal. Connor Garland's first of two on the night, his 10th of the season, and that's notable because with that goal, Garland became the 10th Vancouver Canuck to reach double digits on the season. You add in Elias Lindholm, who's done the bulk of his scoring in Calgary, but he's into double digits as well. That gives the Canucks 11 different skaters on the roster now with 10 or more goals. So, again, they are deep. We know that they've got the top end, but on so many nights, it's been those guys a little bit lower in the lineup. And tonight it was a bunch of them. Garland with two, up to 11 on the season. Hoglander, his 17th of the year. And Joshua gets up to number 13 for him on the season. So really the depth guys come through on a night when Miller and Besser didn't have it. The power play didn't have it. I thought the line of Pettersson, Lindholm, and Hoglander did a lot of good things in this hockey game. They had a couple of really extended shifts where they were just moving the puck around and Blackhawks were chasing. But ultimately, Pettersson doesn't figure in the scoring. Lindholm does get the assist on the Hoglander goal. But what did you make of that trio? It's five games now for Lindholm. He's been here, there, and everywhere. He's kind of been plugged in some different spots. They're still trying to figure out the best possible spot for him. But what did you make of that trio as a group tonight?
Yeah, I share your assessment, right? I mean, there wasn't necessarily a lot of output at the end of it all, but they did have their moments. They were far more noticeable than the Miller line. You know, you talked about that one shift. I think it ended with about 4 minutes to go in the period where the Canucks spent 2 minutes virtually straight in that end. And Pettersson had a lot to do with that, keeping possessions alive along with Hughes. Then they wind up getting a shift change at the icing and get the Miller line back on. But, you know, there were those types of shifts. And certainly the goal that Hoglander winds up with, it was Lindholm who dumps it in and then gets in on the forecheck and doesn't touch the puck, but is able to protect the puck and free it up for Hoglander to then make a pretty good play and a nice finish. So But it does just underscore how important this third line is for this team, because we have said that a lot in the last couple of weeks, that we've seen the top two lines perform, but at 5-on-5, it's kind of been fits and spurts at various times. But you got that third line. They started the game again tonight because, you know, you want to set the tone with that first shift, but they score the key goals. They allow this team to relax. They allow them to kind of get their bearings and get into it. But, you know, I think you mentioned it on a tweet that when you look at the Canucks schedule and the way it's set up, it's going to be hard for Lindholm to get a lot of practice time with this team.
Yep.
All right. There just isn't enough of it right now. So, you know, they've got to just kind of rely on instincts. And I think Tocchet's done the right thing by putting that Swedish line together, because you knew that Pettersson needed somebody with some offensive skill more than what he was playing with, that he could potentially build some chemistry with, even if it's in game, not practice, and then elevating Hoglander up, who really did deserve the time. You know, he deserves the increased role. There's just no doubt. I mean, this guy, when you look at his numbers, I think you had something late in the second period where he's played like 7 minutes, but he's kind of everywhere, right, in those 7 minutes, and he's all over the stat sheet. I think at that point he had 7 minutes and 10 seconds of ice time, and he already had the goal, 5 shots and 8 attempts, right? This guy needs to play more. So to put those three together, I think it's going to work itself out at a higher level. I really do. But it's been great for Hoglander to play with more skilled players. It's kind of on Pettersson to kind of bring the whole group together.
Yeah, I mean, on the night, Hoglander's final stat line is 10 minutes and 41 seconds of ice time, almost all of it at 5-on-5. You got a little sniff of power play time, 17 seconds. But those statistics stand from the second period. Finishes with 5 shots on goal on 8 attempts, but he also had that chance moments before Dakota Joshua scored, where Pettersson moved the puck and Hoglander in front kind of got twisted around, but had a pretty good look, or it looked like he was going to get a good look. Still, you know, in limited ice time, this guy finds a way to leave his fingerprints all over the stat sheet, and it's commendable. And I think some of these other players lower in the lineup, you know, who knows what's going through Mikheyev's mind, but it's now 22 games without a goal. But, you know, some of these other guys, if they're wondering about why are they on the fourth line, why aren't they getting more opportunities, you look at a guy like Hoglander, it's not about logging 15, 18 minutes. It's when you get out there, make the most of it, you know me, and do something. And he's doing it right now. And so he scored in 3 straight games, up to 17 on the season. It's a remarkable run for Nils Hoglander. And I can't imagine that he won't continue to get an extended look with Elias Pettersson. The question is, at some point, Farhan, they've got to throw him a bone and put him out there on that second power play unit.
Absolutely. And the second power play unit got some time in this game. They started a couple of the power plays, right? And, you know, when you look at that third line, and ultimately the difference is for the most part, 5-on-5 ice time, not the third line, I should say, the first line, but Hoglander sitting there at 10:41, Lindholm at 16:32, and Pettersson at 16:31. And Nils Hoglander has earned the opportunity to play similar minutes to those guys right now, right? And if you look at it, you know, just from a power play perspective, he gets 37 seconds in, and you know, those other guys are playing PP1 time, which is over 4 minutes in this game. So, there's no doubt about it. He needs to continue to play more, simply because he's earned the opportunity, right? This is not somebody we believe can do it. This is somebody who shows that his productivity at a 5-on-5 rates, just in terms of his ability to drive play and generate, is really, really good right now. And he needs to get more time.
Back-to-back wins for the Canucks, following up the overtime victory in Washington with a 4-2 win in Chicago. 36th win of the season. They are 36-12-6, 78 points now. They've opened a 4-point gap over the Boston Bruins, who lost in a shootout on home ice to the Tampa Lightning. So the Canucks are 4 clear of Boston and 6 up on the Dallas Stars. Like, they actually have padding atop the lead at the top of the National Hockey League standings. And this was their 30th road game of the year. They've played more road games than anybody in the NHL. And just a scintillating 18-8-4 away from Rogers Arena. They matched their home ice win total on the road, and that is one of the reasons that they are where they are in the standings. 18 road wins for this Vancouver Canucks hockey club, and this is another thing too, 5 straight out of the All-Star break away from home, and now, and I wrote about this at Canucks Army over the weekend, but the schedule, they still see a lot of the top teams in the West, so quality of competition, it's difficult, but in terms of home ice versus road and time zones, like, the schedule really now starts to work in their favor. 17 of their final 28 games will be played at Rogers Arena. And after this one tonight, Farhan, only 5 more games outside the Pacific time zone. And 2 of those come next week when they make a quick trip to Minnesota and Colorado. So they're knocking down the games outside of the Pacific time zone. And there is going to be some practice time for Rick Tocchet. They've got that 9-game homestand in the month of March. But in the short term, they come home for two against Detroit and Winnipeg, and then quick turnaround and right back out on the road. So, yeah, Elias Lindholm is going to have to continue just to kind of feel his way during games, morning skates, warm-ups, whatever the case, because there won't be a lot of practice time here over the next week. But the schedule then will let off. And when it does, like all of those teams in the chase pack, they've got games to make up. They've got games in hand. It's going to be a compressed schedule for them. And really, the Vancouver Canucks, they've done so much heavy lifting, but they are sitting pretty with 28 games remaining on their regular season schedule.
Yeah, it's still bizarre when I look at it sitting there with a 4-point cushion against a Bruins team that just took care of them handily coming out of the break. But, you know, I think Sportsnet had a graphic today about just how good this team has been against the bad teams. Now, we know they've been good against the good teams as well. And early on in the season, that was the narrative that they're, who are they playing? And then they kind of solve that. But think of where this team would have been in previous years if they had just put together some better results against some of the bad teams in the league, right? Like they were giving up points to teams well below them in the standings on the regular basis, whereas now they've got the third best record in the league against teams that are below 500. So they're doing what they need to do, and they're just doing it in a professional way as much as anything else, right? I mean, like I said, late in the game, you know, and you were right, you kind of called me on it. Like late in the game, we're thinking, how is this, like, how are they pulling the goalie and still a close chance away? But really on form, the game just never felt close. So that does speak, in my opinion, a lot to Rick Tocchet, right? And his ability to get their attention because, you know, not every game is going to be that rivalry game, that intense game. And you're going to have to maintain a level of professionalism and focus even against some of those bad teams. And you're not going to face those bad teams in the playoffs, but a coach's ability to make sure he's got his team's attention, regardless of the stakes, really does make a difference later on in the season.
Canucks sweep the Chicago Blackhawks. Lots of teams are going to do that. But the Canucks do what they had to do. That was the opponent in front of them. And they take care of business at United Center. And, of course, without Connor Bedard as well. It's a struggle for the Blackhawks almost every night out. They've lost 7 in a row. And they got their 2 goals. And that's a bonanza for them. But I don't think they ever really threatened the Vancouver Canucks on this night. I mentioned right off the top that the shots were 12-1. And the drama, maybe the only drama in this game, really was, would the Blackhawks get a shot in the first period? Because it took until a late power play. And yes, they got one with about 30 seconds to go. Now, Thatcher Demko faces 23 shots on the night. He stops 21. He gets another victory. His 29th win of the year in his 39th start. And Rick Tocchet has pushed just about every proper and correct button possible for the Vancouver Canucks. But, and I don't want to go deep on this one, this was a Casey DeSmith start. Like, Thatcher Demko has started 70% of the games for the Canucks into the All-Star break and then starts 4 or 5 on this road trip. Played well in Washington on Sunday, but this should have been a case. They've got to find Casey DeSmith some starts along the way here. Thatcher Demko didn't need to play and beat the Chicago Blackhawks tonight.
Yeah, I would agree. And they've got better games coming up. I mean, even in 2 nights when they're back home against Detroit, Detroit's gone 7-2-1 in their last 10 games. They've got the final playoff spot today in the East. So this was the game. You're 100% right. And you don't want to wait because, you know, until next week. And now you got the back-to-backs on Monday and Tuesday against Minnesota and Colorado where you know he's going to get to play. But you would think Demko plays on Thursday. Demko plays on Saturday against Winnipeg at home on Hockey Night in Canada. And then you probably wait until that Minnesota game before you get DeSmith in before coming back with Demko on the Tuesday against Colorado. So, yeah, there was no reason not to. You know, and I don't know if they kind of feel that they've handled him well enough in the early stages where, you know, now they want to try to build up his endurance or something like that. Like, I don't know if there's some sort of method behind the madness, but when we looked at the schedule, even though it wasn't a back-to-back, there was simply no reason not to start DeSmith tonight.
They know what they're getting in Thatcher Demko, and, like, he is their unquestioned number one. I understand that, but we've seen this. I mean, 2 years ago, they played him, and they were in a chase pack then, and that was under Bruce Boudreau, and eventually they played him into the ground, and they do run the risk. Like, he's kind of, I think they've handled him just about right, but I also think they've got a monitor and they're going to have to find some starts for Casey DeSmith that, you know, maybe they'd like to play Thatcher Demko, but yeah, I mean, you come home, you got Detroit, you've got Winnipeg, you're out on the road, it's Minnesota, it's Colorado, Boston's here at the end of the following week. Like, that's another Thatcher Demko game. And so all these big games against Western opponents, sprinkle in a couple against the East as well. this one just felt to me, and I haven't had the opportunity to talk to Rick talking about why, whatever the case. They go with Demko. He delivers, as he almost always does, as we said, 29 wins now on the season, but he has started 39 times for the Vancouver Canucks. So just something to monitor as this team moves forward.
There weren't a lot of five-alarm saves that he had to make. There was one late in the period where he kind of went post to post and big groin stretch that I kind of held my breath on. And the other part of it is that Smith has been just fine when he's played. And you can make the argument at some points that the team plays better in front of him, right? I mean, and that's not completely unusual with a backup where a team's got their attention a little bit more, right? Because they think they might have to do a bit more. But, you know, I think this team and coaching staff has gained a bit of belief in DeSmith, so I don't know why it would have even been a hard decision. But anyway, here we are. They won. Not much to complain about.
No, fair enough. Maybe we're looking for issues. I just think it is something to monitor as the Canucks move down the stretch here with 28 games to go. 4-2, they defeat the Chicago Blackhawks, and they go 3-1-1 on a road trip where, yeah, they didn't have their best for full 60-minute stretches, but that is the beauty of this team. They find ways on the nights when the Stars aren't going. That second layer is there. The goaltending is there. And the Canucks pick up 7 of a possible 10 points out of the All-Star break. So the beat goes on for this hockey club atop the National Hockey League standings. It's Jeff and Farhan with you. You're listening to Rinkwide Vancouver. Couple of goals from Connor Garland. He's up to 11 on the season. Nils Höglander to 17, and Dakota Joshua essentially seals the deal. Made it 4-1 early in that third period. 4-2 is the final. The Canucks defeat the Blackhawks. The Canucks with back-to-back wins to wrap up the road trip. They pick up points in 4 of the 5 games. You've heard from Farhan and myself, and our thoughts. Going to hear from Rick Tockett. You'll get a thought from Dakota Joshua as well. Lots going on around this Vancouver Canuck Hockey Club, and all the post-game audio on Rinkwide Vancouver is a presentation of Mr. Lube, 100% Canadian, pioneer of the no-appointment oil change. Now, all of their work is warranty-approved, and they're providing tire service and sales, so it's not just about oil and lube. No appointment needed, 16 locations across the Lower Mainland, and for one near you, go check them out on their website, MrLube.com. Well, Rick Tockett's been pretty happy with his hockey club but all season long, and to add this one, the 36th victory of the year for the Canucks, Tockett pleased with the way his guys performed at the tail end of this 5-game road trip.
Yeah, I thought it was a business-like game. You know, I think, I thought some good lines. I thought the Garland line obviously was really good. I thought Juleson was really good first tonight. I thought he was excellent. So got our 2 points, 3-1-1, and we get back home to Vancouver.
Yeah, coming on home, 3-1-1, so hard to argue with that. 7 of a possible 10 points, and as we have documented throughout this podcast, that it really wasn't a night for the Stars. There were some moments along the way, but this was the worker bees. This was Garland. This was Joshua. More Nils Höglander as well. And Rick Tockett, again, the luxury of having so many guys that he can count on, that if their top-end guys are held in check, others are able to rise to the challenge, and so often it is those guys on that third line.
It's great because if they're in some slumps, other lines can pick it up. And I think the Garland line, if we have some guys that are not scoring goals, they can, chip in. So, yeah, it's just about when you're in an 82-game schedule, you're going to have certain guys have slumps, certain lines, and, you pick it up, and right now they're picking up for us.
Well, the coach mentioned slumps there. I don't know if I would call, for Brock Besser, 5 games without a goal feels like an eternity. And Elias Pettersson had his moments on the road trip, scored in Detroit. But, yeah, this wasn't a trip for Pettersson and Miller and Besser and Quinn Hughes, really, to carry these guys. And maybe that is indicative of the fact that the All-Star game was part of the road trip, really, for them. I mean, it rolled right into the game in Carolina. Whatever the case, some of the guys that didn't have to participate in the All-Star weekend in Toronto, they were fresh and ready to go and have been so good for this Vancouver Hockey Club. And one of them, Dakota Joshua, with the goal, the 2 helpers, the Gordie Howe hat trick, in all over this hockey game. Dakota Joshua in conversation with Kate Pettersson of the Canucks after the game, just talking about his night and the fact that so many guys are stepping up for this hockey club.
Yeah, for the most part, we were good and on top of things tonight. We didn't give them a whole lot, and we're just able to, keep our composure and squeak out a win.
Garland's 10th goal of the season now means you guys are the first team to have 11 goal scorers with 10 or more. What's so fun about playing with such elite offensive talent?
Yeah, it's just nice that we have a deep team, a deep offensive team, and on any given night, there's a lot of guys that can step up and you can count on, so it makes everybody else's job a lot easier.
I know, he talks about keeping the composure, and then this is the guy that dropped his gloves. So, but the question there, too, about all the double-digit goal scorers, and it is fun. And again, it is the depth of this team that, you know, there are some teams, if their stars aren't scoring, they're not winning. But the Canucks, that's not sort of their MO, that, yeah, you want Pettersson and Besser and Miller, and they've been there most nights. But on these nights when it's not happening for them, they've got that next layer that continues to come through.
Yeah, and this is where you got to give management credit, right? Because there's only so much you can do at the top of the lineup when this team had the contracts it had. Yeah, they had to make a decision on Miller over Horvat and those types of things. But by and large, the key players were here before they got here. It was the moves they made at the other end of the roster, particularly this offseason, that has made a massive, massive difference, right? And Joshua was last season. Blueger was this season. Suter was this season. They've all managed to fit and help, and you got to give credit to Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford for this.
Let's get into the Rinkwide Vancouver three-star selection. The three stars selected by the media in the building, a clean sweep for the Canucks, Joshua Garland and Philip Hronek. And Hronek with two assists here, and he had the big game in Detroit. He had 5 points in five games on the road trip. I don't think there's much doubt Dakota Joshua with the goal, two helpers, the scrap as well. So Gordie Howe hat-trick, his fourth fight of the year. He doesn't do it an awful lot. He hadn't fought since a tussle with Jacob Middleton of the Minnesota Wild back on the 7th of December. So it's been a couple of months, but Dakota Joshua all over this game in a variety of ways, using his hands and coming through for the Canucks. So first star, a relatively easy selection, and his running mate, Connor Garland, is the second star for me. Not just the two goals, but six shots on goal on back-to-back games now. He had six in Washington, six more here. He scored against the Capitals. He scores twice against the Blackhawks. So Connor Garland sort of coming into his own as well. Late in this road trip, so a couple of good games. He follows up one in Washington with an even better one, more impactful one. So Connor Garland is the second star. And I'm going Nils Höglander. I mean, that's three straight games now that Hoagie has scored for the Vancouver Canucks. So it's not about getting chances and being around the puck. It's actually having a bottom line. And what a bottom line. 17 goals now on the season. So I've got Joshua Garland and Höglander is the Rinkwide Vancouver three-star selection.
Yeah, hard to argue with any of that. And I'm telling you this. This year, there's just no way they're breaking up that third line. But when we get to next year, if Dakota Joshua signs, and he'll probably sign for more than the Canucks would have anticipated last offseason, given the consistency of production, Dakota Joshua is going to be a top six player for this team next year, like a full-time top six player. And if you watch the way he plays, like, these aren't grindy goals that he scores.
Yeah.
He scores goals, scores goals. When he's playing the give and go and setting up Garland, he has got tremendous skill. And that skill is going to be in the top six for this team sooner rather than later.
Vancouver Canucks defeat the Chicago Blackhawks 4-2. We still got lots ahead here on Rinkwide. We're going to get into the listener feedback channels. Your thoughts on this one, the stat that stands out, and of course, Phil Kessel touching down in Vancouver just before puck drop. So lots to get to there. We'll get Farhan's thoughts on Phil Kessel and where he might fit in and how quickly he might fit in for the Vancouver Canucks. So lots still to come here on Rinkwide Vancouver. Canucks beat the Blackhawks 4-2. It's Jeff and Farhan with you, Rinkwide Vancouver. We're going to get to Phil Kessel talk in a second. Yes, sort of dominated as this game was going, all the talk on social. Forget the hockey game. Phil Kessel's in town, and there was photographic evidence of him at the airport. Before we get to Phil the thrill, though, a couple of things. Got to take care of some business here. We'll get to the stat that stands out, and I don't know. I'll have to go back and audit at the end of the season how many times Quinn Hughes has been the focus of the stat that stands out, but pretty much every night does something, and this was a relatively quiet night, I thought, for the captain, but does get the second assist on the 4-2 goal on the Dakota Joshua goal, plays it down low to Blueger, and then the centering pass. Thought for a second maybe Connor Garland had touched it, but no. So Quinn Hughes does get the assist there, and with it, joins Doug Lidster in fifth place in all-time Canucks scoring among defensemen with 307 points in his 337th NHL game. So far, it's taken him 337 games to become a top five scorer in franchise history, and he's only 20 points away from moving past the guys that are ahead of him, aside from Alex Edler. So by the end of the season, Quinn Hughes is going to be number two with a bullet and have only Alex Edler to catch when it comes to scoring among Canuck defensemen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his floor in any given game this year is so high, right? Like, this is a game that, like you said, he didn't necessarily have to do as much, but there still are some moments that all of a sudden he just takes over and it just happens, right? I mean, whether it was that sequence late in the first period where, you know, they had that 2 minutes of pressure and he was responsible for a lot of it. You know, there was the one assist that he got. There's just moments in any given game where he controls play. He just makes something happen that just lets you know that he's there, that he's Quinn Hughes, that he's arguably the best defenseman in the National Hockey League and certainly the unquestioned straw that stirs the drink here for this team.
24 minutes and 38 seconds, four shots on goal, six attempts for Quinn Hughes, does pick up the assist and is on the ice for a couple of goals. Little blemish, he was the guy gambled and lost on the Kevin Korchinski goal. Doesn't happen very often, but again, we won't hold that against him in a season.
Cut him, get him out, trade him.
It's been magical for the captain, but hey, we should point it out. We break down just about everything here the Canucks do on Rinkwide Vancouver. But yeah, moving into top five, 337 games into his career. Where will he be after another 337? Well, I mean, they'll have rewritten the record book a couple of times for Quinn Hughes. So let's see where he tops out this season. It's been an incredible run for him, and every point that he gets is just another point closer to rewriting his own record of last year with a 76 points. Quinn Hughes picks up the assist, as we said, up to 65 points now in 53 games.
What do you do next year? What do you do next offseason? Because, you know, Quinn Hughes is very deliberate every offseason in terms of what he wants to do to improve his game. And this year it was the offensive end of it, shooting more and creating shots for himself and just being more aggressive that way. And it showed. So what's next?
I mean, it's just refining, I suppose, because he told us all he was going to work on his shot. He did that. He's come back. He's into double digits for the first time in his NHL career in that regard. I think it is just some of those subtle little things. I'm sure he's got some things that he thinks he can work on. You know, I can't imagine that it's his skating. His skating's as good as just about anybody in the National Hockey League, but imagine if he somehow decided he wanted to add another gear and get a little more explosive. We know what he can do in twists and turns and small spaces and all those types of things, but he'll continue to work at his craft because that's what he does and it's what sets him apart and makes him exceptional. All right, let's get into the listener feedback here at Rinkwide Van. We asked you what stood out from a 4-2 win in Chicago. Jay says, with a little time to gain chemistry, that 23-40-21 line is going to be a great line. Looked really good in spurts tonight. We touched on that, and I would agree there. Matt says, nobody in the top six got hurt. I suppose, hey, you know, but yeah, top six just kind of going through the motions, let the third line carry the day. These guys need some more practice time to gel. Power play one isn't working right now. That is for sure. It went 0-4. And I think it's now 13, the last 13. Earlier on the trip, it was giving up shorthanded goals. You knew that they'd put an end to that bleeding, but it's more about what do they do themselves with the man advantage. And they haven't done a lot of late. They haven't needed it, though. Justin says, is there a point where Garland makes the OEL trade a win?
Ooh.
He's driving the best line in hockey.
That's a great question.
Oh, Garland on his own with an OEL buyout. Is that a win? Boy, I don't think
that buyout's going to be painful.
I don't think we're at that point yet, but I love the question. I love the
fact.
No, but
like, so let's ask the question. Let's say OEL was here.
Yes.
And a replacement level player. Okay. Like just better than what he was a year ago, which he would have been because we know last year was so much to do with the injury, right? That he had never had a chance to recover. So let's just say he became a 4 or 5 defenseman, number 4 or 5 defenseman. But you're not having that heavy cap penalty 2 years down the road for back-to-back seasons. Is it then a win?
But you still have his, but you still got his contract, which was an anchor, even if he had a, you know, replacement level.
Yeah, but they're going to be paying for portions of that contract regardless, right? As far as how it affects the salary cap.
Right. But if he was here and they were just paying him to be here as a 4, 5, 6 defenseman, they wouldn't have had the flexibility to go and do some of the things that they did. So I think...
Because I also look at it from the standpoint of whether or not the Garland deal was an efficient deal, right? Because for the last 2 years, it hasn't been. Right? You've looked at that deal as a deal they want to move. Not because the player wasn't fine 5-on-5, because he was fine 5-on-5. But you just looked at it and you were like, we're paying way too much for that. And now all of a sudden, this is a player that 2 years down the line, they're probably going to want to look at re-signing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about it, right? Like, him and Besser were on inefficient contracts big time, and they're not now. And I know I'm digressing off the question, but, you know, that alone has kind of changed the narrative around this team in terms of what it's going to do on March 8th and, you know, and just what it's potentially going to do going forward, because they found a way to get max value out of these contracts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating way to frame that whole Garland OEL trade. Again, I don't think we're there to call that Connor Garland by himself declaring the trade a win. Of course, Dylan Gunther is going to have a long career and score a bunch of goals for the
Jim Benning New, Jeff. Jim Benning New. Thank you, Jim.
Somewhere Jim sits back and watches all of these games, I'm sure, from afar.
See, I told you.
Colin says, 3-1-1 road trip with the All-Stars sleepwalking for its entirety. There's an element of truth to that. JT Miller.
I wouldn't say 43 was sleepwalking. The forwards may have been.
JT Miller and Brock Besser each had 2 points on the trip. Now, Miller's 2 points were both goals, and they were both game winners. So, impossible to say that he didn't leave a mark on this trip. Brock Besser had 2 assists in the Carolina game, and that was it. So, 1 5-on-5 point for Brock Besser, who kind of quietly has gone these 5 games without scoring. His last goals were the hat-trick goals against Columbus that got him to 30, Farhan. And, you know, again, a ton of mileage out of being a 30-goal scorer, but Brock Besser has scored in 1 of the last 12 Vancouver Canuck games.
Yeah, look, and we thought we might be immune from seeing that level of slump, right? Those are the types of numbers we've seen from Brock Besser every year that he's been here. But we just haven't seen the overall first half that we've seen. And I don't think he went more than 4 without one up until this latest trip, right? So I think you'll take it given the consistency of his production prior to the All-Star break, or really the first half of the season. So, I think he's going to find it again. I think he's still, you know, we're still seeing shots. We're still seeing scoring chances. We knew, you know, everybody that was critical of anybody in the media that suggested there'd be a level of regression in terms of their shooting percentages as a club, right? We are seeing that. But what you're not seeing is it happen across the board with the team. You're seeing it with one or two players. And fortunately for them, they've got a third line that's been able to make up for some of the blemishes of the top two lines right now. But I do think Besser's going to get it back. We're not seeing a player lacking confidence, because when we've seen it in previous years, the team has been losing. So that's added the weight to Besser. And Besser's one to feel that. And now he at least doesn't have to feel that.
Dunner on Twitter says, Garland, Bluger, Joshua, best third line in the whole league. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. There are some other productive third lines, but right now, those guys, and really for the last couple of months. He also says, beating the Blackhawks has completely lost its appeal. I miss the rivalry days of 2010-11, and I would agree with that, that there isn't a lot of glory in knocking off this Chicago Blackhawk team that may only win a handful of games the rest of the way. They'll get Connor Bedard back. He's back skating, possibly as soon as next week he'll be in uniform, and that'll help them, obviously, and it'll make them more watchable. But yeah, the Canucks are done with the Blackhawks. They took all 6 points available to them, so they did what they had to do. Not a ton. I don't think there are a lot of people that are peacocking around Vancouver because the Canucks beat the Blackhawks in this one.
No, they won't. But like I said off the bat, you know, this team is in past years has been known to stumble against the bad team. So you just kind of need to base it on their form. And look, you're right. Like, watching this Chicago team play, there were moments in this game where it was painful, right? 3-on-1 going the other way. The puck just can't settle. There was just such little in the way of offense there that, you know, you're not stressed as a team, but they still found a way to, you know, score when they needed to. And it didn't look like a game where, you know, they chipped a few goals in and then slept through the game. I mean, I think this team generated and dominated the vast majority of this game, right? And I think Chicago was probably fortunate that it was 4-2. So you can only control your own process. That's what a coach will tell you all the time. And I thought the process was pretty good tonight.
All right. Speaking of processes, going to be fascinating to see what the process is for Phil Kessel. Arrives on the ground in Vancouver, 36 years old, a right shot, right winger that got into 4 playoff games for Vegas last year, has played for Rick Tocchet in Pittsburgh and then again in Arizona. So he's familiar to the coach and to this management group. I do like the fact that the Canucks were proactive here. A statement from Patrick Helvin, albeit just a one line, but just trying to tamp down, I think, some expectations. He's going to Abbotsford, and that's the place for a guy that has not played organized hockey for a year. If Phil Kessel is serious, and the fact that he's here in Vancouver and talking to the organization, I think that tells you that he wants to play. He is 8 points away from 1,000 in his National Hockey League career. This is a guy that's played 1,286 career regular season games and 100 more in the playoffs. Has had success. We know that. Can score goals, or at least has had the knack throughout his career. But I do like the fact that the Canucks are basically saying to him, you know, you got to show us. You got to prove that there is still something there in that 36-year-old body that's going to make it worth our time and money to give you a place to play in the National Hockey League.
Well, and it's not just a place to play. Like, if they're theoretically looking for somebody to play in their top six, that means you need to be able to function and play minutes. You've also got a coach that is demanding in terms of what you want from the player at his own end of the ice, right? Like, this is a team that discarded a 39-goal scorer, right? Because he couldn't function at his own end of the ice. And we know that Phil Kessel isn't necessarily going to be the fittest guy, even on his best days, and have that level of pace, but he makes up for it with a certain level of responsibility, awareness, and guile in his own end, right? And then on the other end, he can find ways to score goals and score goals at important times. So, you know, like, I don't know what it's going to look like. At the end of the day, you want to make sure the contract he signs can be fully buried in the American Hockey League if that's what they need, right? I just view this as a really, really low-cost bet. There's very little downside here, right? He's going to be expected to play a certain way, and he's going to be expected to produce because that's the only reason he's here, right? He's not necessarily here for playoff experience and his 200-foot game and all of that stuff, right? He's just got to be functional in his own end, and he's got to be able to chip in on the other end. And the one thing he knows is how to score goals. He's shown that consistently throughout his career, and this team probably needs more of that. I mean, I know where they're at. Like, we all know where they're at offensively in terms of league rankings and things like that. You want depth of scoring. They're showing that right now with what the third line is doing.
I think, and we saw this with Jesse Puljujarvi in Pittsburgh, you know, this is another benefit of having the farm team just down the road, that logistically it makes sense that they can get eyeballs on him right away. I think for me, I'm curious, how quickly does it move from this point now? And when we talk about Phil Kessel, we generally don't talk about things moving all that quickly, certainly not on the ice.
I don't think they need to be in a rush, though, right? Like, this team is not in a pack. For the same reasons we talked about why they should have played DeSmith tonight, they shouldn't be in a rush to put him into the lineup, right? And quite frankly, the guys that are in the lineup, because you're not benching the guys in the top six. Like, you might move one of them down. Mm-hmm. Like, you might take Pia Suter for the sake of argument and say, okay, we're going to move you down to a fourth line, right? You could function in that role. Or Nils Höglander, you know, even though he's playing really well, if that doesn't sustain itself, you could potentially do that. But at the end of the day, they've got a cushion in the standings, and there is absolutely no rush to get Phil Kessel in. And you might even want to wait. I think they probably want to, my guess is it's going to be about 2 weeks, right? And sometime at the end of February, you want to get him in because you want to give him 3 or 4 games before the trade deadline, because you want to see if there's something there. Otherwise, you need to address it, you know, in a more meaningful way. But like I said, I think they've got time. I mean, even if it's like 10 days to get to that point where he can get 4 games before the deadline.
Well, and I hope he's willing to sign a PTO and play games in Abbotsford and show that this isn't just about plug me in at the National Hockey League level. Again, this guy hasn't played anywhere in a year at this stage of his career. This is a league that's getting younger and faster by the day. I do think that there's a fair bit of this on Phil Kessel, that if he is completely serious, and the fact that he's here in Vancouver indicates to me that he is, but there can't be any shortcuts expected. I think he's going to have to prove it, and I hope that he's willing to play a couple of games in the American Hockey League to prove that the hands are there, that the feet are there, that, you know, where is his conditioning? That's always been an issue with this guy. But
you think he cares about that anymore? Like, he's got to laugh at that. Like, I have played over 1,200 games. This is who I am. This is how I play. I've won Stanley Cups, and like, take me for what I am. I mean, he can't be worse than he was before in that, in terms of fitness and things like that. But the standard for Phil Kessel is a little different than it is for the rest of the class.
Sure, but in years gone by, he's been under the eyes of NHL teams when it comes to his fit. And like, who knows where he's been and what he's been up to for the better part of a year now. And one thing to think you're in shape, another when everybody else has been playing 60 games to get out there and try to keep up. So, yeah, I mean, certainly has people talking in this market. And I mean, where there's smoke, there's a lot of it now. It's not quite a fire yet, but we'll see where it goes. Phil Kessel on the ground in Vancouver, headed for Abbotsford. And
Can't wait for the first media availability.
See how quickly he suits up for the Abbotsford Canucks. Canucks didn't need him in Chicago. They may need some of that goal scoring down the stretch and veteran presence as well. Certainly has been through the battles, as we said, over 1,200, almost 1,300 NHL regular season games, sitting on 992 points. The Canucks defeat the Chicago Blackhawks. They're on their way home after a successful 3-1-1 road trip. Detroit is in, licking its wounds after getting McDavided. Is that a word? I'm making it one. 6 points, 6 assists for Connor McDavid in an 8-4 Oilers win over the Detroit Red Wings. So the Red Wings, their road trip off to a bit of a rocky start in Edmonton, but they'll be here. Beat the Canucks on the penalty shot in OT the other night at Little Caesars Arena. The rematch coming up on Thursday. Nikita Zadorov eligible to come back into the lineup after his 2-game suspension for the hit on Lucas Raymond. So storylines abound as the Canucks get set to take on the Red Wings Thursday and the Winnipeg Jets on Saturday, and then it is back out on the road. But that's going to do it for this episode of Rinkwide. For Farhan, this is Jeff. The final score again, the Vancouver Canucks 4, the Chicago Blackhawks 2. You've been listening to another edition of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.